Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Remember by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Nedarim, Daf Tzadi Off, the 11th Perek Be'el Nedarim, and the final Daf of the Masechta. So the three Daf's we're going to focus on. Number one, on the previous Daf, Rapapa said, the Rava tested him with an inquiry. Eshes Kohen Shenansa, a wife of a Kohen who was violated, and thereby forbidden to him. Yesho Ksuba, Eino Ksuba, does she receive a Ksuba or not? Do we say that since her being violated is equal to Yisrael's wife committing adultery willingly, in that they both become forbidden to their husbands, so she would lose her ksuba like Yisrael's wife, who is willingly unfaithful? Or can she say that as far as she's concerned, she would be permitted to him since she was violated, and it's only his special status as a Kohen which forbids her to him, so it should be viewed as his bad fortune and no fault of hers? They resolved the query from a Mishnah which taught that a woman who said that she was defiled must be divorced and receives her ksuba originally. Now, what is this case? If she said she willingly defiled herself, then she forfeits the ksuba, so she must have said she was violated. Therefore, the Mishnah must be about a Kohen's wife, since only she becomes forbidden through violation, requiring divorce. Yet the Mishnah says she collects a ksuba. Point number two, the Gemara inquires, Amar Labal Gerashtani Mahu, if she says to her husband, you have divorced me, what is the halacha? Is she believed to marry someone else? Rav Hamnuna suggested a resolution from our Mishnah which taught that a woman who claimed to have been defiled is not believed according to the Mishnah's later ruling. Now that's only because she realizes that the husband does not know the truth, so she's not afraid to lie to him, but to claim that he divorced her, which he knows about, she should be believed. Because there is a presumption that a woman would not be so brazen-faced to her husband to claim what he knows to be untrue. Rava sought to prove the opposite. Although in the Mishnah's initial ruling, she is believed to say she was defiled, there it is because she would not want to disgrace herself to say she was defiled unless it were true. But it's possible that a woman would falsely claim divorce to escape her husband. And point number three, the Gemara records two incidents in which a woman indicated that she had relations with her husband the previous night, which the husband denied, prompting a concern that she mistakenly had relations with someone else. Nachman said in both cases that we assume she is interested in another man, and her statement is disregarded. In a third incident, a man was secluded with someone's wife, and when the husband returned, the man broke through a weak wall and fled. Rava said that we are confident no sin was committed, and he need not divorce her even as a stringency, because the adulterer would have hidden. In a fourth incident, an adulterer entered a home, and when the husband returned, he hid behind a curtain. When the husband was about to eat food tasted by a snake, the apparent adulterer called out to warn him. Rava said we are confident no sin was committed, because he would have allowed the husband to die. The Gemara explains the novelty is that one might have thought the adulterer prefers that the husband remains alive, as it says, Maim genuvim yimtaku, v'lechem sesarim yinam. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread of secrecy is pleasant. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In the previous daf, Rapapa said, the Rava tested him with an inquiry. Eshes Kohen Shenansa, a wife of a Kohen who was violated and thereby forbidden to him. Yesho Ksuba, Eino Ksuba, does she receive a Ksuba or not? Do we say that since her being violated is equal to Yisrael's wife committing adultery willingly, in that they both become forbidden to their husbands, so she would lose her Ksuba like Yisrael's wife, who is willingly unfaithful? Or can she say that as far as she's concerned, she would be permitted to him since she was violated, and it's only his special status as a Kohen which forbids her to him, so it should be viewed as his bad fortune and no fault of hers? They resolved the query from a Mishnah which taught that a woman who said that she was defiled must be divorced and receives her Ksuba originally. Now, what is this case? If she said she willingly defiled herself, then she forfeits the ksuba, so she must have said she was violated. Therefore, the Mishnah must be about a Kohen's wife, since only she becomes forbidden through violation, requiring divorce. Yet the Mishnah says she collects a ksuba. Point number two, the Gemara inquires, Amar Labal Gerashtani Mahu, if she says to her husband, you have divorced me, what is the halacha? Is she believed to marry someone else? Rav Hamnuna suggested a resolution from our Mishnah which taught that a woman who claimed to have been defiled is not believed according to the Mishnah's later ruling. Now that's only because she realizes that the husband does not know the truth, so she's not afraid to lie to him, but to claim that he divorced her, which he knows about, she should be believed. Because there is a presumption that a woman would not be so brazen-faced to her husband to claim what he knows to be untrue. Rava sought to prove the opposite. Although in the Mishnah's initial ruling, she is believed to say she was defiled. There it is because she would not want to disgrace herself to say she was defiled unless it were true. But it's possible that a woman would falsely claim divorce to escape her husband. And point number three, the Gemara records two incidents in which a woman indicated that she had relations with her husband the previous night, which the husband denied, prompting a concern that she mistakenly had relations with someone else. Nachman said in both cases that we assume she is interested in another man, and her statement is disregarded. In a third incident, a man was secluded with someone's wife, and when the husband returned, the man broke through a weak wall and fled. Rava said that we are confident no sin was committed, and he need not divorce her even as a stringency, because the adulterer would have hidden. In a fourth incident, an adulterer entered a home, and when the husband returned, he hid behind a curtain. When the husband was about to eat food tasted by a snake, the apparent adulterer called out to warn him. Rava said, we are confident no sin was committed because he would have allowed the husband to die. The Gemara explains the novelty is that one might have thought the adulterer prefers that the husband remains alive, as it says, Maim genuvim yimtaku, v'lechem sesarim yinam. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread of secrecy is pleasant. All right, so now we go to our siman daf sadi alef, and our standard siman is an exit sign. So here goes. The Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard a friend say to her husband, you have divorced me, almost got knocked down by a man who broke through a weak wall and fled. Once again, slow motion. The Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign, that must be on daf tzadi alef, tzay. The Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, which reminds us, on the previous daf, we had the question whether a wife of a Kohen who was violated and thereby forbidden to him collects her ksuba or not. Do we say that since her being violated is equal to a Yisrael's wife committing adultery willingly, in that they both become forbidden to their husbands, so she would lose her ksuba like a Yisrael's wife who is willingly unfaithful? Or can she say that as far as she's concerned, she would be permitted to him since she was violated, and it's only his special status as a Kohen which forbids her to him, so it should be viewed as his bad fortune and no fault of hers? They resolve the query from her Mishnah, which indicates that she does collect her ksuba. So the Kohen's wife who was violated was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard her friend say to her husband, you have divorced me, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a woman says to her husband, you have divorced me, what is the halacha? Is she believed to marry someone else? Rav Amnuna suggested a resolution from a Mishnah which taught that a woman who claimed to have been defiled is not believed according to the Mishnah's later ruling. That's only because she realized that the husband doesn't know the truth, so she's not afraid to lie to him, but to claim that he divorced her, which he knows about, she should be believed. Because there's an assumption that a woman would not be so brazen-faced to her husband to claim what he knows to be untrue. Rava sought to prove the opposite. So the Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard her friend say to her husband, you have divorced me, almost got knocked down by a man who broke through a weak wall and fled. Which reminds us, Gemara brings an incident of a man who was secluded with someone's wife, and when the husband returned, the man broke through a weak wall and fled. Rava said that we are confident no sin was committed, and he need not divorce her even as a chumra, because the adulterer would have hidden. So once again, the Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard her friend say to her husband, you have divorced me, almost got knocked down by a man who broke through a weak wall and fled. Hadnolach Maseches Nedarim. All right, mazel tov everyone on being Messiah Maseches Nedarim, the 16th Masechta in this Daf Yomi Machzor, a grand total of 90 blot, 270 points now organized in our mind for efficient review and long-term retention using Simani. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlacha in our learning and Chazara, and may we continue to go Mechayel Chayos as we begin the next Masechta, Maseches Nazir, and be Zochah to make a Kinyan on all of Shas together with Simanim. All right, so now it's time for four Blah Bach Chazara. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Zimmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must be more daf Pei Zayin. Golden Pez candy dispenser. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, which reminds us, our Mishnah which taught that hafar for the wrong person is invalid holds that the pasuk using the term yani osa, he who shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a braisa which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid, despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers that the braisa of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but wasn't certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and a safar was made accordingly for the wrong person. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser. but was informed, toch kadedibur, that in fact it was his wife, which reminds the Gemara brings a ruling that all statements can be retracted within toch kadedibur with four exceptions, blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration, and marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ron explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. So the husband who did hafara for the wrong person mistakenly decreed on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, but was informed, toch kedei dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape Pez candies. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokas whether a partial hakama confirms the entire neder, and if a partial hafara revokes the entire neder. Daf peches, so the simmer daf peches is a garbage can, or trash bin. So here goes. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can. That must mean we're in daf peches, pach, garbage can, or trash bin. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane, which reminds us, the Gemara contrasts a machlokas about partial knowledge regarding hafara with a machlokas about a blind person's inadvertent killing when going into a forest. So, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was Hasutum, have no rights in it, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what a father must do in order to give property to his daughter such that her husband, who he was mutar hanav from, will not acquire it. So, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was usher to him, have no rights in it, ran to hide in his daughter's courtyard, which she owned independent of her husband, which required her to acquire a portion of the wine for shetufli mavos, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case where a wife herself owns a courtyard independent of her husband, demigu de zachil navsha zachil achrini, since she must acquire a portion of the wine for the shetufli mavos for herself to be effective, she can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents. Daf pei tes, so the symbol of daf pei tes is a chalon pot. So here goes. The wife who burnt the chalon in the pot, that must be on daf pei tes, chalon pot. The wife who burnt the chalon in the pot who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, which reminds us, there was taught in Brayson, if an Almana or Grusha say that I'm hereby a Nazira when I marry, and she gets married, Rabbi Shmuel says the husband can be Mefer, and Rabbi Kiva says he cannot. In the reverse case, where a married woman declares she'll be a Nazira after divorce and she gets divorced, Rabbi Shmuel does not allow Hafar, and Rabbi Kiva does. Rabbi Shmuel holds the ability of Hafar depends on the time the neder takes effect, whereas Rabbi Kiva holds it's determined by her status at the time the neder is declared. So the wife who burnt the chalent in the pot who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce served it to nine Na'aros whose Nadarim stand, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Teshin Na'aros Nidrein Kayamin, there are nine Na'aros whose Nadarim stand, meaning they cannot be revoked. They are essentially permutations of three types of cases, where she's a Yasoma B'chayavya, an orphan in her father's lifetime, meaning she left her father's domain through a previous marriage of Nisuin, or she's an actual orphan, or she's a Bulgaris. So, the wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, served it to nine Na'aros whose Nadarim stand, and told her upset husband, Conan, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches, if a wife says, Konam she'eni nena le'abo levicho im osa ani alpicho, Konam that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you, the husband can revoke it. The Ron explains that since both the neder and the condition are either inui nefesh or matters between him and her, he can be mefred, although it has not yet come into effect, since the condition has not been fulfilled. Dav Tzadi, so the symbol Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The tzedakah collector, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadi, tzedakah box. The tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married, which reminds us of the incident of a man who vowed not to benefit from anyone if he would marry before learning halacha, referring to Shas Mishnayos, and how Rav Acha bar Rav Huna tricked him to think that marrying would not trigger the neder, and he married, which forbade him from benefiting from anyone. Rav Acha then smeared him with dirt to show him his immediate need for other people to launder his clothes, and brought him to Rav Chisna to annul his neder. So the tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married and went around with his tzedakah box collecting for three women whom he initially believed were divorced, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, three statements of women were originally believed for them to be divorced and collect their ksuba. Omer's tamei ani locha, one who says, I'm defiled to you, which means she had relations with another man and is thereby forbidden to her husband. Shemayim beini levenecha, or heaven is between me and you, which means he's impotent and cannot have children, which no one else knows. But heaven, netula ani min yehudim, or I'm removed from Jews, which means she made a net of forbidding herself in relations with all Jews, which indicates that relations are very painful for her. Later, the Rabbanan grew concerned that a woman may set her eyes on another man and make these claims to free herself to marry him. So they revised what must be done. So the tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married and went around with his tzedakah box collecting for three women, whom he initially believed were divorced, was shocked when he saw the wife who said she had relations with another man, still married to her kohen husband, and eating truma. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires if a woman claims she had relations with another man, but is not believed to forbid herself to her husband as per the rabbi's enactment, can she continue to eat truma if she's married to a kohen? By her own admission, she's forbidden to eat truma, and there would seem no reason not to believe her. Rav Sheshet said, Ocheles shelotot silaz al beneha. She may eat truma so as not to cast aspersions on her children's lineage. If she'll be forbidden in truma, people will believe her claim of being defiled and consider the children born afterwards to be chalalim. Rav disagreed because she can eat chulin, and people will simply assume she has no available truma. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we have a question? If a wife says to her husband, you have divorced me, is she believed to marry someone else? That's on Duff. Study off. Good number 2. Which stuff do we have three statements of women which were originally believed for them to get divorced and collect their ksuba? That's on Duff. Study. Good number 3. Which stuff do we have machlokas of how far it depends on the domain of the time of neder or its taking effect, such as a wife saying she'll be a nazira after divorce? That's on Duff. Pay test. Good number 4. Which stuff do you have an incident where a man was secluded with someone's wife, and when the husband returned, the man broke through a weak wall and fled? That's on Duff. Study off. Good number 5. Which stuff do you have 9 cases where a girl's neder cannot be revoked? That's on Duff. Pay test. Good number 6. Which stuff do you have a question whether a wife of a kohen who is violated and thereby forbidden to him collects her ksuba or not? That's on Duff. Study off. Good number 7. Which stuff do we learn that a wife who owns a courtyard independent of her husband must acquire a portion of the wine for shitufi mavos for herself and can also acquire it on behalf of other residents? That's on Duff. Peches. Good number 8. Which stuff does Gemara seek to resolve the difference between the din when one does a fara for the wrong person and one does kriya on the wrong person? That's on Duff. Peizayin. Good number 9. Which stuff do we have the incident of a man who vowed not to benefit from anyone if he would marry before learning halacha? That's on Duff. Tzadi. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn that when one forbids all kohanim and levim, he has forfeited his tovas hana since he renders the trumas and maestras like mere dust? That's on Duff. Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.